President Trump wants lower drug prices, but tell that to Pfizer. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The payroll processing company ADP counts them all up every month, and the June tally today was lower than expected, up just 177,000 from May. That's still in the strong category. The jobs report with the government's imprimatur comes tomorrow. For a preview, I want to consult Diane Swonk, chief economist at the accounting and consulting firm Grant Thornton. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so you're expecting fireworks tomorrow with the June employment report?
I think we'll see a pretty strong report, looking about 195,000 for the overall employment gains. It's down from 223,000 last month, but still extremely solid. The important issue is what's the composition of those gains. I think we're going to see some strong gains in manufacturing and construction, which is welcome news. The question is, how long can they last? Some of the problems we're seeing with trade, and as the trade wars escalate, some steel producers win. Other producers in the manufacturing sector, everyone who uses steel and aluminum, is now starting to feel the bite of those higher prices, and some of them are actually beginning to do layoffs. So we'll see as the summer progresses how we can tamp down these trade wars instead of escalate them.
I'll also be interested to see if anybody's getting a raise, because they also tell you that in that data series tomorrow.
We're looking for average hourly earnings to go up 0.3%. What that means on a year-over-year basis is 2.8%. That's up a little bit from last month and welcome news, but not enough welcome news. It's something the Fed has been watching very carefully. They're very worried that we've seen wage gains, but not enough. They're still very tepid out there. We'd like to see some traction where we've seen wages sustained at 3%. Remember back in the 1990s boom, the last time we saw these kinds of unemployment rates that we're seeing today, we were seeing 4 and 5%. Raises, much different, with still low inflation. So they were real wage gains instead of just wage gains that kept up with inflation.
All right. Well, this time tomorrow we'll know. Diane Swonk at Grant Thornton. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer this week raised prices on about 40 of its medicines. Cholesterol drug Lipitor was up more than 9%. Viagra's up. It's the second time this year the company's done a round of price increases, even as President Trump has been trying to talk prices down. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports from the health desk at WHYY.
A little more than a month ago, President Trump declared that some of the big drug companies are, quote, going to announce voluntary massive drops in prices. Since then, more than 50 drug makers have actually raised prices, according to data from Elsevier's Gold Standard Drug Database. Rachel Sachs is a professor of law at Washington University.
The drug companies' actions show that the administration's rhetoric that it's getting tough has not yet caught up to their actual behavior.
Congressional leaders have joined with the Trump administration to condemn the pharmaceutical industry's business-as-usual practices, like raising prices twice a year. Michael Ray of Rx Savings Solutions believes the more aggressive drug makers get, the more likely Washington will act.
At some point, there's going to be kind of a reckoning of the industry. How and when that plays out, we just don't know yet.
The administration released its plan to rein in drug prices back in May, but these recent price hikes suggest the industry feels no pressure, at least for right now. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Embraer, one of Brazil's most prized companies and maker of smaller airliners, is selling most of its commercial business to Boeing. The Brazilian government remains uneasy letting an American company run Embraer's defense operations. So Boeing will own 80% of Embraer's $5 billion commercial aircraft division. No official word yet just how Boeing plans to pay for this. We recently heard from Fran in New York, New York, who wanted to let us know that she appreciates Marketplace's in-depth reporting and that we help her better understand the economic and political issues of the day. To join Fran in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible. Now to a business of sports story about globalization and the import of ideas. Men's teams get more attention than women's teams in professional sports, which leads to less revenue from sponsors and stadium tickets. But from the Marketplace Hub at IdeaStream Newsroom in Cleveland, Adrian Ma reports on how U.S. women's softball is getting an assist from China.
On a warm summer night in Ashland, Ohio, it's a quintessential American scene. Two teams, the Eagles and the Cleveland Comets, are lined up on a field before a game. Then something unexpected. the Chinese national anthem. And it's not just the music here that's Chinese. Two-thirds of the players on the Comets roster are from China. So what's going on here? The Comets general manager, Steve Dunn, says it's about money.
Flights, hotels, lodging, meals.
Salaries, uniforms, and equipment. Dunn figures it'll add up to about 600 grand this season. But under a new deal with the Chinese Softball Association, two-thirds of that expense is covered. In return, the Chinese athletes get to compete with highly skilled U.S. players and up their game for the 2020 Olympics. Dunn says the team, which used to be called the Akron Racers until they folded this year, couldn't exist without the sponsorship.
It gives us the opportunity to play ball.
The Comets are part of a five-team professional league called National Pro Fast Pitch, or NPF. And David Barry, who teaches sports economics at Southern Utah University, says,
integrating international players into the professional league makes a lot of sense for them.
He says it helps raise the sport's profile abroad, which could eventually lead to more eyeballs at home. But what's good for the 14-year-old league may be a hard adjustment for some softball fans. Terry Crane was at the Comets game with her daughter.
We couldn't even understand the chants.
But the Comets aren't the only one in the league with an international roster. There's another mostly Chinese team, the Beijing Eagles, and a team of Australians. In Cleveland, I'm Adrian Ma for Marketplace.
And let me start with the source of the next story. The U.S. ambassador to Germany, as reported by the German newspaper Handelsblatt. The ambassador reportedly told German car industry execs that the Trump administration will retreat from increasing tariffs on European car imports if the European Union lifts all of its tariffs, new and pre-existing, on U.S. vehicles. The U.S. traditionally had higher duties on U.S. cars than the U.S. does in reverse. Stocks of VW, BMW, and Daimler are all up about 3%. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.